here's the grand truth. While the world insists that power, possessions, popularity, and pleasures of the flesh bring happiness, they do not. They cannot. What they do produce is nothing but a hollow substitute for the blessed and happy state of those who keep the commandments of God. The truth is that it is much more exhausting to seek happiness where you can never find it. However, when you yoke yourself to Jesus Christ and do the spiritual work required to overcome the world, He and He alone does have the power to lift you above the pull of this world.
We do have some exciting news coming out of the newsroom at the churchofjesuschrist.org. Starting off, this was reported on August 10th from Seoul, South Korea. A Latter-day Saint becomes South Korea's Supreme Court Justice. The next news release was again on August 10th, where Elder Ulysses Suarez welcomed the Vice President of Brazil at the Brazil Temple. Such a wonderful opportunity for those outside the faith to come and feel the Spirit of the Lord. And it's always good that people in positions of power in their country recognize and make time for the Church of Jesus Christ and their efforts to bring about the Lord's work here on earth. We all know about the, most of us do, and if you don't, there have been wildfires in Maui. That's very interesting. I have many thoughts on that, but the church has been providing temporary shelter there and assistance to the evacuees, and this was reported on August 11th. As part of the emergency response, the Church of Jesus Christ has provided 2 meeting houses as temporary shelters and 2 other meeting houses located in the fire zones in Lahaina are undamaged. Water and other basic needs are being provided to evacuees in these areas, and the church will continue to respond as needed based on coordination with civil authorities and community relief. So some of their next step efforts is congregational leaders will distribute much needed supplies to Latter-day Saints and their neighbors, regardless of religious affiliation. Wards, families, and individuals are encouraged to participate in local relief projects where practical. So what we've done since we're in California is we came across an account on TikTok where you could order Amazon supplies off of Amazon and have it shipped to this particular business that is on Maui. And then they are able to get the supplies over to them through boat. So please check it out. Go to newsroom.churchofjesuschrist.org. And there's just a lot of help that's needed worldwide. The Church of Jesus Christ bolsters migrant aid in Mexico. Mexico is hurting. People in South America are hurting. And the church has donated equipment and supplies to strengthen the operational capacity of 15 humanitarian spaces in Mexico for migrants and displaced persons. We are all children of a loving Heavenly Father, and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is actively protecting human rights, which is a primary focus, and Christ always gives us an opportunity to serve our brothers and sisters. So we need to say prayers for the migrants in Mexico, for those who are suffering in Maui, Hawaii, and the Saratoga Springs Temple has been dedicated, and President Eyring says it's a sign of the Lord's trust, and I think that's a sign of the Lord's trust in us. He knows that we love him and that we want to serve him and do this very important work. So if you have an opportunity to jump on the newsroom.churchofjesuschrist.org and check out what's going on, please do so. Aloha and welcome to LDS Real People, Real Lives Podcast. I am Stephanie Colvin and I'm your host. If you're new, welcome. So I have a confession to make. It's not even really a confession. It's something that I want to share because I am a very real person that's dealing with real challenges and hard things just like you are. And I have not been to church in a while. Because I live in a beach town away from my family, I travel a lot taking care of my parents who live in another city, my son and his wife, quote unquote wife, they're living together but not married yet, and grandson. And we just have a lot going on in our family all the time because all of us are living differently. We're not all in the church. We're not all living with the same belief system. And some of us are being batted around by life while others of us are walking the covenant path. And there's just many differences and dynamics in our family, as I'm sure it is with your family. And because I travel a lot, oftentimes I can get a phone call and have to leave immediately and travel an hour to 4 hours away from my home. Sometimes I don't even know how long I need to stay away from the home. And then I get back and then I still have my home to take care of and the yards to take care of and my family, my husband, and my own self to take care of. And then Sundays come and it's a day that I need to be able to do the things that I haven't been able to do because I've been away. But that's not the only reasons why. It's also because Sunday seems to blow up for some reason in our home. That's just, there's always some kind of conflict or contention, and it always manifests itself on Sundays. And we've realized through therapy that this has become a pattern with my husband, who just has the hardest time with change. Even getting off on a Friday from work, having 2 days off and having to go back to work on Monday, that change is too much for him. And Sundays are difficult and challenging. Now, he's been going to church on his own as I'm home and I'm doing all the things that I need to do, which I used to have a lot of help. I mean, we were in a different financial position years ago where I was able to hire people to do this as I was away from the home. And we can't do that anymore. And so I'm getting older. I'm getting slower. I'm addressing my health problems. Heavenly Father has answered my prayers and the blessing that was given to me and helped me to find the answers that I need for my health problems, which are not significant, thankfully. And I'm so blessed. But they could be if I didn't get it under control. The side effects and the symptoms from it were really sidelining my life and making it difficult for me to be able to function during the day and to get the things done that I needed to do. I'm not making excuses. What I'm trying to do is to be really open and to share. And I want you to know that you're not the only one that struggles with trying to participate in all of the wonderful opportunities that were given to go and be close to the Spirit, to feed off of others in our faith, to join them and to learn from them and to socialize and to connect. It's such an important thing to do on Sundays is to go to church and to renew your spirituality, your spiritual tank, to fill it up and to be with other like-minded people who believe the things that you do. Thankfully, we have felt so much mercy from our bishop, who really and truly understands our situation and the uniqueness of it, and he has given us permission to continue to do sacrament on Sundays with my husband here at the house. And what I love about the recent changes in the church is that the church changes to fit the circumstances of the world as we continue the ongoing restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And through the pandemic, it opened up so many options for me to all of a sudden be able to participate more as I'm traveling across California, sometimes going to Utah or Arizona. And I'm grateful for these changes because I can participate more. Unfortunately, we're not doing church any longer on, we used to be able to watch sacrament on YouTube, and they're not doing that anymore. I'm not sure why, but I accept the changes that are made because I know that they're inspired. And I understand how important it is to keep the Sabbath day holy, and to be a part of that is to attend church. And I wanted to share this because I wanted to let you know that how hard and tough it's been for me to keep the faith. And when I say keep the faith, I have always believed in the gospel, and I always will. That will never change. But to be able to do all of the things and not be so batted about by the things of the world has been very, very tough for me, especially with all of the stuff that we've been dealing with in our own home, and then my relationship with my sweet spouse, who loves me so much, and I'm so grateful for his genuine goodness and care for me and how hard he tries. I think that our discipleship, and I'm sorry for the long pauses as I try to organize my thoughts and just really truly get in tune here, that we do the best that we can to stick to the basics when we find ourselves in a point in our life that things have just gotten hard. It used to be so easy for me to get up and go to church, come home, participate in church functions, to be, you know, part of Relief Society presidency and regularly go out with the missionaries. But once my father-in-law became ill 5 years ago, my entire life changed. And I went from being actively engaged in the gospel, in the ward, to now people wonder if I'm active or not in my own ward. And I always laugh and I just smile at them and I say, yes, most definitely. I love my Savior and Redeemer, Jesus Christ, and the continuing knowledge that rolls forward through revelation and inspiration to help me to understand His love and my Father in Heaven's love for me. That they want me to give myself the same grace that they give to me, which is that loving kindness, which has been so sweetly described in a podcast that I listened to recently. And I've been trying to do more of that, is to give myself more of that grace, that loving kindness that Christ gives to each of us, and also really personalizing my relationship with them. Spending time with them when I can. I might even look like the old lady that's kind of talking to herself, because throughout the day, I talk to Heavenly Father. And I don't think twice about saying things out loud, because I've always prayed vocally. And I want Father to know how grateful I am for all that He does for me and my family and the things that are important to me. My goal is just to be able to get back to church, especially as things are settling down. My husband's going back to work. He's a teacher. And seminary starts back up at the end of August. And I get to teach that again, which I'm so excited. It's such a wonderful opportunity to serve the Lord and to learn from the faith of these young adults in the gospel. So what I do is what the gospel has taught us to do, and that is just try to do better and be better. We've talked before on this podcast many, many times about how the journey here is not going to be linear. It's going to have its hills and valleys, and sometimes it's going to be fire, and sometimes it's going to be ice. And so we can slip from some of the things that we should do that fortify our faith. And yet other areas, I'm still very good at, you know, reading scriptures, doing Come Follow Me. I watch a lot of videos. I pray throughout the day. And another thing, too, that I haven't been able to do is my temple recommend. I was able to get my first interview done, but not my second interview, because every time I have an appointment, I've been called away to travel outside of my hometown that I'm living in right now. So that's been frustration for me. And again, I just hope that as I'm sharing this, that the Spirit can kind of impress upon you whatever you hear or learn that's going to be a blessing into your life. So that you can overcome some of these things, because the world's just moving into a direction that truly is the latter-day prophecies. And things are tumultuous. They are everywhere. Everywhere it seems like you look, there's something going on. And we still have to be able to weather the storm and reflect the exquisite joy that the gospel gives to us, because that is the expectation. Where knowledge is given, responsibility is as well. And then come the blessings, is kind of how I see it. So there's two things there that I haven't had for quite some time, which is regular church attendance and temple attendance. And that has really hit me hard. I can see how people waver in their steadiness and faith and kind of walk away because things are just so overwhelming. But I wanted to share with you what I've learned. And that is the mercy and understanding of a loving Heavenly Father who, as Maddie has said on TikTok, she's got a large following if you know who she is. She's a wonderful saint who has gone through a lot in her short life. And she has said that this gospel is everything, that she was able to identify who she was and hold close to her identity once, through inspiration, God had shared with her that she was knitted perfectly in her mother's womb. Maddie had gender dysphoria. And this piece of revelation that was given to her just changed her heart and her conviction and her abilities to come back unto the Lord and to know who she is. She's just an amazing person. But I believe, and I've learned the same thing, is that Father too has knitted me perfectly in my mother's womb. And he knows me. He knows exactly what I deal with, how I work, how I think, my weaknesses and my strengths. And he's very patient because we repent. We turn to him. We talk with him. We wrestle it out if we need to, but we discuss. And we love our Heavenly Father. We love our Savior. And as President Nelson has taught us, effort brings rewards. And those are efforts, and it will always be rewarded by a loving Heavenly Father. And I am so grateful for this knowledge. There is a fantastic talk given by Elder Bednar titled, Abide in Me and I in You, Therefore Walk with Me. And this is from April 2023. And he says, the Savior's promise to abide in us is true and available to every covenant-keeping member of his restored church. And he starts off sharing the story of Enoch. The ancient prophet Enoch, described in the Old Testament, the Doctrine and Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Price, was instrumental in establishing the city of Zion. The scriptural account of Enoch's call to serve indicates that he heard a voice from heaven saying, Enoch, my son, prophesy unto this people and say unto them, repent, for their hearts have waxed hard and their ears are dull of hearing and their eyes cannot see afar off. And when Enoch had heard these words, he bowed himself to the earth and spake before the Lord, saying, why is it that I have found favor in thy sight and am but a lad, and all the people hate me? For I am slow of speech, wherefore am I thy servant? Please notice that at the time of Enoch's call to serve, he became acutely aware of his personal inadequacies and limitations. And I suspect all of us at one time or another in our church service have felt much like Enoch. But I believe the Lord's response to Enoch's pleading question is instructive and applies to each of us today. Elder Bednar goes on to quote scripture. And the Lord said unto Enoch, go forth and do as I have commanded thee, and no man shall pierce thee. Open thy mouth, and it shall be filled, and I will give thee utterance. Behold, my spirit is upon you, wherefore all thy words will I justify. And the mountains shall flee before you, and the rivers shall turn from their course. And thou shalt abide in me, and I in you, therefore walk with me. Enoch ultimately became a mighty prophet and a tool in God's hands to accomplish a great work, but he did not start his ministry that way. Rather, his capacity over time was magnified as he learned to abide and walk with the Son of God. I earnestly pray for the help of the Holy Ghost as we consider together the counsel given to Enoch by the Lord and what it can mean for you and me today. I love Elder Bednar and how he gives his talks. He always sews it so perfectly together with the Spirit. And the story of Enoch, I know I have been called to do things in my ward that I don't think I've ever had a calling where I'm like, oh, I can do that, no problem. Oh, I can, you know, I got this. I've always felt immediately where I lack, and I think that's just part of being a human being in this fallen nature. We tend to be negative, and especially when we're called to serve Jesus Christ in his church and in his kingdom, that can make us feel pressure. And are we good enough? Can I do this? And it always brings me back to something that I read a long time ago about how when we are called to a position or a calling or a role within the church, that it's not us that does the qualifying, it is Christ that does the qualifying. So moving on, thou shalt abide in me. The Lord Jesus Christ extends to each of us the invitation to abide in him. But how do we actually learn and come to abide in him? The word abide denotes remaining fixed or stable and enduring without yielding. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland explained that abiding as an action means to stay, but to stay forever. And that is the call of the gospel message to everyone in the world. Come, but come to remain. Come with conviction and endurance. Come permanently for your sake and the sake of all the generations who must follow you. Thus we abide in Christ as we are firm and steadfast in our devotion to the Redeemer and his holy purposes in times that are both good and bad. We begin to abide in the Lord by exercising our moral agency to take upon ourselves his yoke through the covenants and ordinances of the restored gospel. So the covenant connection we have with our Heavenly Father and his resurrected and living Son is the supernal source of perspective, hope, power, peace, and enduring joy. And it also is the rock-solid foundation upon which we should build our lives. We abide in him by striving continually to strengthen our individual covenant bond with the Father and the Son. For example, praying sincerely to the Eternal Father in the name of His beloved Son, deepens and fortifies our covenant connection with them. I want to say something here about this, and I truly believe in the pattern of prayer, which has been shared in the scriptures. We say, Dear Heavenly Father, we talk to Him, we pour out our hearts, and we seek out His will. Revelation and inspiration. We're looking for love and guidance, whatever our needs might be. And at the same time, when we do that, Father is always, always there. And the added power that's given to that prayer is when we close it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I've listened to people who pray from other areas of the world and country and other faiths, and oftentimes they do not close the prayer with "in the name of Jesus Christ, amen." And I always just kind of, I don't know, just recognize, and I'm so, I wish everybody understood that by invoking the name of Jesus Christ, and the power that it gives to the prayer, to the blessing, to the moment, and to whatever help or knowledge that you're seeking at that time. Elder Bednar goes on to say that we abide in Him by striving continually to strengthen our individual covenant bond with the Father and the Son. We abide in Him by truly feasting upon the words of Christ, and the Savior's doctrine draws us as children of the covenant closer to Him, and will tell us all things what we should do. We abide in Him by preparing earnestly to participate in the ordinance of the sacrament, reviewing and reflecting on our covenant promises, and repenting sincerely. Worthily partaking of the sacrament is a witness to God that we are willing to take upon ourselves the name of Jesus Christ and strive to always remember Him after the brief period of time required to participate in that sacred ordinance. And we abide in Him by serving God as we serve His children and minister to our brothers and sisters. And for me, that is my family. You know, I was talking to my husband yesterday as we were just hanging out together in our backyard and saying, imagine if everybody took care of their family, how much better our community, our state, our country, our world would be. And if we could just start at home. Elder Bednar goes on to say that the Savior said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. And I want to testify to you that I know this to be true. In my patriarchal blessing, it said something to the effect that the commandments might seem a burden at this time, but as I come to understand them and live them, I will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are protection and guiding counsel from a loving Heavenly Father who is blessing His children who have left the home to go on a journey to grow and to become. Elder Bednar says, I briefly have described several of the many ways we can abide in the Savior. And I now invite each of us as His disciples to ask, seek, knock, and learn for ourselves by the power of the Holy Ghost other meaningful ways that we can make Christ the center of our lives and all that we do. So how do you make Christ the center of your life? And I just want you to think on that for a moment. What are the things that you do actively every day to focus on Him? So for example, this whole situation that's been going on in Maui with the fires, I've been following it closely because I'm part Hawaiian. I've got family that live not on Maui, but the other islands. And, you know, my heart really goes out to them. These people are going through a lot. The devastation has been completely just unreal. The way that it was handled was subpar, and we are going to see in the next week or two the actual devastation from all of this as the authorities work through the neighborhoods and really figure out who's alive and who's not. The community in Lahaina has been destroyed. It has been taken down to the ground. There are very few structures that remain. But interestingly enough, the two buildings that belong to the LDS Church in Lahaina, it's my understanding that nothing happened to them. And I believe that's what I just said at the beginning of the podcast for the news updates as well. I've heard of this before. The one that comes to mind for me is Houston, when they had the flooding and the temple there was untouched, even though the water, I think, had gotten up to the grass and the gates. I'm not sure exactly what all the details are on that, but I love it when this is pointed out, because I always need to see the power of my loving Heavenly Father and all that He does to sustain His kingdom here on earth. It just invigorates my faith, and I'm so grateful for that. Elder Bednar moves on and he says, "And I in you, so how does Christ abide with us?" The Savior's promise to His followers is twofold. If we abide in Him, He will abide in us. But is it indeed possible for Christ to abide in you and me, individually and personally? The answer to this question is a resounding yes. In the Book of Mormon, we learn about Alma's teaching and testifying to the poor whose afflictions had compelled them to be humble. In his instruction, he compared the word to a seed that must be planted and nourished. And he described the word as the life, mission, and atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So Alma said, "Begin to believe in the Son of God, that He will come to redeem His people, and that He shall suffer and die to atone for their sins, and that He shall rise again from the dead, which shall bring to pass the resurrection, that all men shall stand before Him to be judged at the last and judgment day according to their works." Given this description of the word by Alma, please consider the inspiring connection he then identifies. "And now I desire that ye shall plant this word in your hearts, and as it beginneth to swell, even so nourish it by your faith. And behold, it will become a tree, springing up in you unto everlasting life. And then may God grant unto you that your burdens may be light through the joy of His Son. And even all this can ye do if ye will." The seed we should strive to plant in our hearts is the Word, even the life, mission, and doctrine of Jesus Christ. And as the Word is nourished by faith, it can become a tree springing up in us unto everlasting life. So what was the symbolism of the tree in Lehi's vision? The tree can be considered as a representation of Jesus Christ. Elder Bednar goes on to say, "My beloved brothers and sisters, is the Word in us? Are the truths of the Savior's gospel written in the fleshy tables of our hearts? Are we coming unto and gradually becoming more like Him? Is the tree of Christ growing in us, and are we striving to become new creatures in Him?" Perhaps this miraculous potential inspired Alma to ask, "Have ye spiritually been born of God? Have you received His image in your countenances, and have you experienced this mighty change in your hearts?" We should always remember the Lord's instruction to Enoch, "Thou shalt abide in me, and I in you." And I testify that the Savior's promise to abide in us is true and available to every covenant-keeping member of His restored church. I love that Elder Bednar shares this, because this is something that I have experienced and continue to experience, and that has kept me true to the faith. The more I focus on Christ, the more that I seek Christ throughout my day, the more that I come to know Him and understand Him on a personal level, it becomes easier and easier for me to be like Him, for me to abide in Him, to ask Him to abide with me, to give up my will and to take on His will. And by doing this, I'm able to weather the storms of my life, which have been tumultuous these last year and a half, 2 years. But what I want to share with you that I have learned out of these last year and a half to 2 years, because of the constant seeking of the Lord to have Him to be a part of me and my day, and to have hope in Christ, even when my mortal circumstances would make me feel desperate. This has taught me great faith. I'm going to share something that's going to add to this in a moment, but I want to finish Elder Bednar's talk first. He says, the Apostle Paul admonished believers who had received the Lord, so walk ye in him. What does that mean, walk ye in him? This is my question. I have always struggled to, I can learn a doctrine or a teaching, but what is the application? So Paul is telling the believers to walk ye in him. What does that mean? Elder Bednar goes on to say, walking in and with the Savior highlights two vital aspects of discipleship. One, obeying God's commandments, and two, remembering and honoring the sacred covenants that connect us to the Father and the Son. So John declared, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. And Jesus beckons to each of us to come follow me and walk with me. This is something that I have learned throughout. We returned back to the church and my husband was baptized in 2013. We're coming up on our 10-year anniversary of marriage, and since he's been baptized, and this is what I was taught, my patriarchal blessing, that as I live God's commandments, I will come to understand that these commandments are a blessing to me and how much he loves me, and then I will joyfully live these commandments. Now, I'm not saying that I'm perfect. I'm not saying that I don't lie from time to time, you know, and then I immediately repent. I have a sailor's mouth. This is a constant problem for me. I wish I wasn't like this. This is my Achilles heel. I absolutely despise it. And I pray constantly that the Lord will take away my cursed tongue. Not my ability to talk, but just my cursed tongue. Like, wipe these words from my vocabulary, please. And so I continue to work on that as well. But he's right. And Elder Bednar is speaking the truth. We will come to know the Savior, and he will abide in us and us in him as we obey his commandments and remember and honor our sacred covenants that we took with him. The invitation to follow Christ is a loving invitation, because he knows that he is our Redeemer. He's our Advocate. He's the Alpha and Omega. The sun rises on him and sets on him. He is our ultimate exemplar of what we are to do, how we are to live, and the faith that we are to follow, to have, to acquire. As we press forward in faith and walk in the meekness of the Lord's Spirit, Elder Bednar reassures us that we are truly blessed with power, guidance, protection, and peace. And this is something that I have actually experienced recently. So I mentioned a few minutes ago that I was going to share with you something that kind of tied into some of the recent difficulties that we have been going through. And one of the biggest things that my husband and I have recognized as we have endured the most recent and trials and challenges, and let me tell you, they were truly trials and challenges that tested us beyond what we felt we could handle. We see Christ and Heavenly Father in all of the details of our days, and it has been miraculous. And then one day, as I was kind of contemplating and talking to Heavenly Father about, you know, the things that are going on in my life and my frustrations, what do you want me to do? How do I take care of this? He had pointed me to the direction of the New Testament. And I don't know this scripture by heart, but it has to do with living in today and letting tomorrow take care of itself. Since I've been able to do that, what I've learned is this unimaginable faith. I truly focus on the events of the day, the trials and the challenges of the day. I don't worry about tomorrow. I don't worry about next week, next month, next year. And by doing so, I've been able to see the blessings and the miracles from a loving Heavenly Father and Savior that have built my faith. So much so that I can do things like hit the road and not even really know how I'm going to get home. Where's the money going to come from? How am I going to get gas? How am I going to get food while I'm away for the day, for the few days I'm gone? And sometimes I'm gone longer. And when I live in the day and I'm present and I take care of today's problems, He has come through on everything. He has a better imagination than I do, and He has blessed me perfectly. And I mean, there have been times that I've had to travel knowing that once I get there, I do not know how I'm going to get home. And something always happens that I'm able to get the money I need to put the gas in my car to get home so that I can then tend to my husband, to our marriage, to my adult son that lives here. And it's just been absolutely miraculous. It's, you know, I've read that scripture before. It never quite hit me in the way that it did this last time. And I have been so blessed by this living scripture that truly has applied to my life and has revealed to me this immense power and understanding of how Heavenly Father blesses us and watches over us and provides for us when we're living by faith. Isn't that interesting? And because I see it, because I've experienced it, because I testify of it, He grows and nurtures my faith even greater and deeper. There are times that I think that I have great faith and it just can't get any bigger than this, right? Because you have all these amazing experiences that Father loves to share with us through the Spirit, and so does Jesus Christ. And then lo and behold, something else happens and your faith gets rooted even deeper and you become more steadfast and steady in the tumultuous winds and storms and hurricanes of this world. And I'm so grateful for the enlightenment that Heavenly Father continues to give me and my Savior to guide me and to be there for me and for my family and to help us on this journey. So I believe what Elder Bednar teaches and what he shared with us in April of this year, that Christ can abide in us and we can abide in Him. And even when we're not doing everything that we're taught to do because of the circumstances of our lives, if we can simply focus on Him throughout the day and do as much as we can to honor Him, to serve Him, we will be blessed by the Holy Ghost that will give us revelation and inspiration to open our minds and strengthen us, give us the extra energy, the extra oomph that you need to complete whatever task, goal, whatever you need to do at that time. This is the beauty and the awe of the gospel of Jesus Christ as found in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Thank you so much for your support, for joining us this month. If you have any questions, stories that you would like to share, we would love to hear from you. We are here to support, build, uplift, inspire, and encourage you on your covenant path home. Please remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. Please stay safe, stay healthy, and most importantly, remain faithful. Until next time, much aloha, love, and God bless.